When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, wormhole!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Levins, and today we're talking about Super Mario 3D World / Bowser's Fury and other games.
That's big. In case you haven't heard, two things have just happened. One, Jackson and I are back in video game jail. The state was like, you gotten too powerful, too big for your britches.
Too much. You're playing
too many games from the past, go back to jail.
To prison with him.
And the other thing that's happened is that Zamet is in actual jail. I've been called in.
They've taken him truly down. Yeah, he's 20 to life. We won't be seeing him again for a long time.
But then Levins has offered to pop in, bring us some video games for a conjugal visit.
This is actually a threat because last time a Mario game came out or a Mario game was re-released was the Mario 3D All-Stars package. Jackson, if I remember correctly, you reviewed Galaxy and you were like, I love this game.
Yep.
It's great.
You know, Joel, you were like, oh, you know, Sunshine, it's rough around the edges, but there's a lot of charm there.
Yeah.
And Joel Zammit said, Mario 64 is objectively a bad game.
It was awesome to watch Joel Zammit, like, as though this was some grand secret that nobody had ever discovered before, be like, the seminal 3D platformer that paved the way for gaming as we know it today. Bad. No and good.
It was also very funny to watch him dig his heels in and be like, and the reason why I'm allowed to think this is because Nintendo, they're grubby. They've stolen money from us.
It's like, just... it rolled.
A man who was constantly talking about pre-ordering games and buying games that are on sale for 95% off is like, how dare Nintendo do this?
How dare they? It was hilarious.
I took it upon myself to get ahead of the curve and message Dusha and say, hey, can I be on Thumb Cramps this week? Just because I don't know. I don't even know if he got it, but I was just...
No,
I lived
in fear you made the right choice.
That
you
he
know?
Was going to say 3D World was also objectively a bad game.
You had to get in there. I understand.
Bowser
doesn't
even get that furious.
Everything was cats and it reminded me of anime, which made me very unhappy.
Didn't he actually just get two cats?
Yeah, he did.
He would love this game then. Yeah, in Bowser's Fury and most of 3D World, everything is a cat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has played... Look, before we get into your review, here's my review of Joel Zammit's review of 3D World.
Great,
he used to live with someone that had a Wii U, and I remember he would play 3D World on the Wii U co-op, like couch co-op, and he liked it, but every time something turned into a cat, he got really angry and would be like, why is this like this? So I reckon if I was Joel Zammit reviewing this game, he'd probably give it two thumbs, and he'd be like, didn't hold my interest, also why is everything a cat? I love cats, but I hate Cat Mario.
Yeah,
and
I think
my review of Joel Zammit's review is one thumb.
Okay. My review of your review of Joel Zammit's review is probably five thumbs because I think it's a really accurate... your review...
My review is one thumb because I don't rate his... like, I'm criticizing his lack of courage. Don't look past the cats.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, no, then five thumbs for your review of his review.
Brave.
Yeah,
my review of Jackson's review of Joel Dusch's review of the 35th anniversary edition of Zammit's review is three thumbs and a knuck.
Yeah,
okay, perfect, I'll take perfect, that. That's perfect. Nice. That's average. Yeah.
So, Levins, you've played the game.
Yes, I played it on my Wii U, the 3D world thing. And, like, it's not one of my all-time favorite Mario games, but even my, like, least favorite Mario game is still better than almost every other game I play. I love Mario games. They're the best.
Mm.
They're great as, like, just to dive in and fool around and not actually achieve anything in terms of gameplay. But they're also the best in terms of, like, oh, I want to do absolutely every single thing that you can do in this game. And I will not play a single other game until I've done that.
For sure.
I love Odyssey. I love Galaxy 2, I think, is my favorite Mario game ever.
It's like the so one it was I've gutted. Yeah.
That's like the only like real criticism I had of the 3D All-Stars package, or beyond the fact that they didn't actually do anything to make those games play better. Yeah. In fact, it's almost a step back. Not to sound like Zammit, but if you played Mario 64 on the Wii U, there were save states.
Oh,
so
really?
That little annoying things like you could get into a cannon where like you have to like aim yourself randomly in the sky to get a star, and you could save it at the point that you get in a cannon.
Oh, that's good.
And so if you miss the star, like reopen the save state. That's how I feel. That's how I got 120 stars in Mario 64 for the first time in my life.
Hell save states.
Oh, well done.
They have patched the game, not to add save states, but Super Mario Sunshine and only Super Mario Sunshine now has GameCube controller support.
Okay.
Good, I guess.
Thanks, Mr. Nintendo. You've done it again.
I don't know if you remember this from the original GameCube version, but the flood controls were either... axes was either flipped or not. I can't remember which one. But
yeah, and you couldn't flip it back.
Yeah, they now have added the option that you can control if it's inverse or not.
Mario. That's my version of flood. Yeah. Mario.
It's good. I've played 3D World, and I don't think I ever got past the second... like realm, but it does that thing that all good Mario games do, where every new like level or new world, it'll keep you occupied. It introduces something new, and like that's enough, you know.
I mean, in the lead up to it, everyone was kind of like, "Oh, this just looks like Mario, new Super Mario Bros. Except you can move to the background and the foreground as well, instead of just left and right." And it definitely feels like that the first few levels. I might even describe some like the first 10 levels or so pretty unexciting, unless you are playing multiplayer mode with a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh,
and then you enter the nightmare realm, where no matter how many lives you start with, say 36, for example, they will use up all of those lives moments before you hit the final flag and you have to redo the level again.
It's with the release of this game, it's nice knowing that my dad friends are all going through the same hell, because you're playing with Archie and Tilly, and James, aka Mr. Sunday Movies' son, is also obsessed with Mario.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a recent thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and like... was counting down the days on a calendar until this game came out. So I can only imagine he's currently living in the same hell as you.
Experiencing the same nightmare zone.
Oh, no, it's a very fun hell. Like,
For sure.
I've played with Jackson before. I know what it's like.
Yeah.
Jackson and I have attempted to play co-op Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze multiple times and gotten so angry we didn't want to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's great.
It's the moment.
Actually, I will say, me and John Valenzuela finished the first Donkey Kong Country Returns on Wii together.
Well done. We could never, because the moment we both get to control, we have such different ideas about where Rampy the Rhino should go. Fundamentally opposite ideas about how to control this rhino. You know when you do that thing where you jump and clearly one of you is pulling in the other one direction and one of you is pulling in the other and the rhino doesn't move? That's what it's like.
I played it
with Adam and we're doing fine. We're doing a Let's Play of it and we're doing fine. Just me and you,
JD. You guys
share
the same smooth brain.
Yeah, we're both like, this is where the rhinoceros needs to be.
Well, our united thing was, what if the rhinoceros went in the hole?
Yeah. That's where we decided would be the best place for it. It's good. Yeah.
Well, we should play this multiplayer and see if it's like playing with a child.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when we play multiplayer stuff like this, we both blame the other person and refuse to accept. Yeah. Yeah. And we refuse to adapt our playstyles to match the other person. So it's just a fight nonstop. I'm going to put you in a bubble all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Archie's way of playing now is he's only really understood how to play video games in the last like year. And he's pretty good at them now, but he just wants to race ahead as fast as possible.
Hell yeah.
Tilly is 7. Sorry, she's 4.
Yeah.
She's the 4-year-old one. I had to check my hand for the notes that are on my children. And so she just kind of like, she can walk around or jump. Not both at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to wait for her at every moment for her to get to where you get. But Archie just runs ahead. And then so me and Tilly are constantly just getting forced into a bubble because I'm trying to like, oh, wait for Tilly, Archie. And he's just like, nope, and just like scooting forward. And then, but he also just loves like yeeting into the distance and falling off a cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Archie really sounds like a man after my own heart. That's how I like to play games too.
I'll ask him what his thoughts on rhinoceros movement are later.
Yeah, please do.
We play a little bit of 3D World. This was like the last collection that was announced for the Mario 35th anniversary celebration. Something that I celebrated very much. I think I got the 3D All-Stars. I played a little bit of Mario 35 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it called? You played it. You played more.
Super Mario Bros. 35.
35 Marios.
Okay. That's the one.
I really liked that. Like, really liked it.
We get it, bro.
Yeah. No, like, I love it. I love that. I'd kiss it if I could.
Yeah, I know, dude.
I got the Mario Game & Watch. I bought Mario Sunshine Edition Puma shoes.
Hell yeah.
I bought 7 of the Lego Mario sets.
Jesus Christ.
We went all out. We've been celebrating this dude's birthday for so long.
You're living in an Italian household. I understand.
Yeah. La Vita Loca. That's what that means. The Mario house.
And I remember, like, I finished it on Wii U, and I liked 3D World enough, but, like, I was like, oh, cool, it's coming back. But when they teased it, they showed the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's all vibrant and cool noises, and everyone's a cat. But then they teased, like, Bowser's Fury at the end.
Yeah.
And for months, I was just like, what is that thing? All it was, like, a close-up of, like, a bell covered in goop.
Yeah.
Black goop, and then it just said, Bowser's Fury coming soon. And so this is this new pack-in game that comes in with the re-release of Mario 3D World, and it is kind of like a big open world sandbox in which you play as Mario, and you have your character teaming up with is Bowser Jr. So Bowser Jr. can either be AI controlled or he can be controlled by a second player. So this is so goddamn relaxing to play with a child because Bowser Jr. cannot die.
Hell yeah.
Bowser Jr.
is in his weird little face mobile. What is that thing?
Yeah, who knows?
And he has his paintbrush from Super Mario Sunshine. And so he can just attack everything with a paintbrush and like go collect coins for you. And so you're in this like big open space. You can see all the level around you, like it's surrounded by water and black inky goop. And in the middle of the goop is Bowser, who kind of sits in this goop. You can see his shell slowly getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And every 6 minutes, Bowser turns into Giga Bowser. And he basically it turns into the blood, it becomes night. And then he just shoots fire and drops meteorites on you.
Oh, my God.
And the course has totally changed because, like, the meteorites are, like, kind of platforms that you can then jump onto access areas you weren't able to. He can destroy blocks that you can only access when he's in Giga Bowser form and attacking. But you can either evade his attacks for, like, 2 minutes.
Evade his tax.
Evade his tax.
Evade the Bowser tax.
Yoshi's superpower. You can find like a cat shine, so like the shines from Super Mario Sunshine, except they're cats now because everything in this is cats. We'll get to that in a minute.
Everything's cats, of course. Yeah.
Or you can unlock this Giga Bell, which turns you into a big Archie calls it the Lion King, which is great because he hasn't seen that movie. He doesn't really know it exists. So he just calls it Lion King Mario because he becomes like this big, like powerful cat god Mario. And then you can go and just womp on Giga Bowser as this big version of Mario. And it is like your classic kind of Mario style fight against Bowser. You've got to jump over his attacks. And then when he's like recuperating after one of his attacks, you jump on him and do a butt stomp.
Hell yeah.
And then he kind of like cowers away and more of the world around you is unlocked.
That's cool.
There's 100 shines to get.
Jesus.
Wow.
And I think, I mean, like, I'm sure you could knock over this game in like 2 hours if you just but I'm forcing myself to, I'm just like, this is just what we're doing, kids. And this is how I'm raising you. You get everything. We're 100% in this game. Okay.
100% household.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's like all these little lighthouses, and like the first thing you get when you get into the new area is like illuminate the lighthouse. And so that's like the first cat shine illuminates the lighthouse. And it, like every little bit of light you shine on Bowser, it takes damage away from him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sick.
And there's 5 shines per lighthouse, and there's like bonus shines throughout the land that you can like get by like chasing bunnies. That funny like Loch Ness monster character, Plessy from 3D World, is like just around all the time. So as soon as you jump in the water, Plessy shows up, and you can jump on their back and hoon around. Plessy can like jump out of the water and just knock down trees, which is great. I cannot believe how much fun Bowser's Fury is.
It sounds it's totally not what I expected. I sort of assumed that it would be just like a couple of bonus worlds for 3D World. It's cool.
Yeah, totally.
It's just like a brand new game, basically.
Yeah, it to me, I just assumed it would be, I guess, exactly what Jackson just said, but like when they announced new Super Luigi Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like remix levels or whatever. Yeah. No, this is it's cool. It's like this bizarre kind of, it feels like an Odyssey, like a very big Odyssey Kingdom. But then you have the moveset of Mario in 3D World. There's tons of references to Mario Sunshine.
Yeah.
It's great. And then the Giga Bowser stuff, it just feels like something totally new. And I hope that this is like them kind of going, the next Mario game is just going to be completely open world. Like, you know, like an either like this where you're surrounded by water and you're like unlocking new islands to explore, or like imagine a big open world galaxy where you are flying from planet to planet. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I think if Nintendo were like, hey, the next Mario game, it's Super Mario Bros. Super Mario Galaxy 3, the world would drown in cum.
I adore the Galaxy series.
We'd piss ourselves to death.
Yeah,
enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. It makes me think of the, I forget which Mario game. It might have been Super Mario 3D World. Was that the one that had the first, like, Captain Toad levels?
Yes.
That then spun off into Captain Toad Treasure Tracker? So, you know, there's precedent for them to be like, oh, here's like a fun little side thing that we've added. And then handball, it's a whole new game, baby.
Yeah, you know? Because my both kids now are now successfully Mario-pilled.
All we do
is just play Mario games now. So last week in anticipation for 3D World, we played, and I think we have 2 levels left of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Yeah,
that is a really fun game to play with 2 people, by the way.
You
can both move the camera at the same time.
And hey, Jackson! Somehow we'll put the camera in a hole.
Really, really, really underrated Nintendo game, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, I know everyone gets upset when they add like Nintendo characters to Smash now, which is so annoying to me. But God, I would love for them to add Captain Toad.
I know, Captain Toad's such an obvious choice. I mean, insane, because what kind of upward movement could he have? Because Captain Toad just doesn't jump in the game.
And you know, Sakurai would totally like figure out a way to not
for sure.
He isn't able to jump. Something else happens.
Yeah, you'll figure it. Total figure it out. He makes a ladder or whatever. Yeah, I know. I'm shocked they're not. I mean, I don't think they will, but I'm shocked they're not bringing him in.
I want a Goomba. Make a Goomba a playable character in Smash.
And all up is just, you know, the Goomba towers from Odyssey. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yes, Goomba Towers ruled. So here's I'm holding. I've got a prop, a visual prop for the boys.
Yeah, yeah,
beautiful.
It's a great visual prop.
It's a piranha plant amiibo, which I actually have inside another plant in my in my room. I wanted to do like a series of photos.
Oh, hey. She's also got a prop.
My prop is the game we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to do.
God.
I keep a piranha plant in a pot plant. I want to start keeping my Ice Climbers amiibo in the freezer.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, man. But looks for, so for final rankings, I mean, we've only played like five or so levels of 3D World. They're really fun. They're archaic if you try and play it with children or like, yeah, feel like, I think anything more than two players, it just gets too insane, but maybe there's a level of fun in that. Like, I'd love to stream it with you guys. That'd be awesome.
Oh, hell yes. Let's do it. Let's figure out a way to do it.
We can. So, look, I don't want to announce anything in this episode because I haven't tried it, but I've acquired the technology that will be required to stream console games like the Switch, and yeah, we could probably make that happen, but this isn't a promise because I haven't tried it yet, so it might not work.
Yeah, yeah, but that would be sick as hell. That would be so much fun.
So, like four thumbs and a knuck. You know, I feel like almost every Nintendo game I would give like five of the biggest thumbs I could give.
Yeah,
very few are getting under four, really.
Like, yeah, totally. 3D World is great, but it's not one of the best ones. But it is still just goddamn great. But I have to say, with the 3 hours I put into Bowser's Fury so far, for all the way, five thumbs, damn, sucking off the 4.5 thumbs from
from
3D. That's good, Randy. Yep. That's exciting. Yeah,
a thumb sucking off its own thumb. That's good.
Yeah.
Hang
on.
What?
Jackson's got a prop too.
You can do it. You can thumbs, do it.
Let me get a photo of that.
You can do a thumb suck.
Could you look up while Jackson does it, Dusha? Could you look up to your upper left? Other way, sorry, upper right. And then I'll look over here like, wow, be shocked. Like, wow, yeah. Okay, hopefully that turned out great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sick.
I'm going to put that in the Facebook group.
Yeah. I'm glad.
So if you head to Sanspence Radio Stuff and Nonsense on Facebook, it's recently become post approval.
Put me on automatic post.
Yeah.
I did last time you posted. Yesterday. I meant to do it the first time that you did it, and then I pressed the wrong button. I was like, I'll figure that out later.
Well, no, go.
It's done
back.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sanspence Radio Facebook group got good. So,
There is 60 post approvals that I've left because I don't want to decline, even though they're absolutely not getting posted. So, if you're one of those 60, I apologize.
I see them building up, and I'm just like, just say no.
No, because it might just post it again. And the big thing about me putting us a post approval is so that people leave me alone. It's a work in progress.
Hey, it's your responsibility. Do what you
Before
like.
Before we get to our games, Jackson.
What?
Levins, do you reckon they're going to do something for Zelda's 35th birthday? 35 seems like a weird birthday to celebrate.
Yeah, but they've done for Mario, so yeah.
As a 35-year-old, I disagree.
fair call.
They made so much money off Mario's 35th anniversary that even if they make half as much money off Zelda, it's worth doing.
Yeah, and I guess considering we're still in a pandemic or the world is still pretty much in video game jail, so giving the prisoners some Zelda would probably result in big profits.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Nintendo never do what you're expecting them to do.
Never,
so
ever.
Won't.
And they never will. But
it's the Wario 35th anniversary.
I would love that.
Yeah, I'd kill for that. That'd be incredible. Wario Land Shake It. Remember that game?
I love that.
It was
that
all
game.
Hand-drawn. It rolled.
It's beautiful. I would dye one of my arms purple and the other one yellow if we get a Wario 35th anniversary.
It's insane to me that that Nintendo hate Wario. They just, like, despise him.
Yeah, why don't we? You can play as a blue toad. I'm like, just make it Wario.
I know Wario Waluigi are sitting there doing goddamn nothing with themselves, thumbs up their asses, and Nintendo's like, what if it was Rosalina? No.
My dream Nintendo game is like the Super Wario Bros.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just like a demented Mario Brothers game where you play as Wario and Waluigi.
I always thought a game like that would be amazing and that like a lot of the power-up equivalents are just Wario torturing Waluigi. So like you get a boat for like a water level and Wario just like puts Waluigi on the back of the boat, puts his body in the water and like twists his legs around to make a propeller. That, or like, you know, stings him with a bee to create like a hot air balloon. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nintendo are cowards. So
no, but
you haven't even got a WarioWare game on the Switch yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Instead, they released what would have been a great Switch game on the DS as it was dying.
God, it's so good though. Have you guys got WarioWare Gold?
No, I saw Mission Impossible Fallout instead. So for anyone who doesn't
know, understand that joke, Jackson, stop laughing.
it seemed funny.
For anyone who doesn't know, which, look, if you don't know, you should be listening to Hey Fam. But, Levin, this is strong Levens lore, and also ties very much into Nintendo, which is Levens was meant to go see Mission Impossible Fallout, but it was the same day that WarioWare Gold came out on the 3DS. A game that no one was dying to buy, so would have still been there. But instead, Levens was like, I better go buy it before the movie starts and miss the first 15 minutes of the film.
That rules.
Yeah, hell yeah. Worth it. I did the right thing. I live by my choices.
I'm surprised you didn't bring your DS and play it in the cinema.
That'd be great.
That's a power move.
It's such an annoyingly noisy game. So.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, anyway, Jackson, what have you been playing?
But before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Thanks, sponsors.
Well, you know, obviously it's our month of shame.
Yeah.
And I so
they looked us up for it.
They were like, guys,
too shameful.
It's this or real prison, like Joel Zammit. This is what we picked. So I looked through my Nintendo Switch at all the games that I had like downloaded but never finished, and most of them seemed horrible too. Like the idea of downloading any of them and playing them was like genuinely upsetting. I couldn't comprehend it. So I picked a little game that I played hardly any of that was like very mindless, which was Downwell. Because I knew that would take the least of my brain power to play. Mm. And Downwell, so that's, you know, for those who don't recall, it's like a, I guess, a roguelike-ish where you are falling down a well and you have little gun boots that you kind of shoot the enemies below you, and you've got to make it through sort of the different sections of the well, and sort of along the walls of the well are like little caves, I guess, that you can go in and get like a different rocket or a different gun that you're firing from your boots, or sometimes there's a shop. It's fun, it's cute, and it is the kind of game that like I can just jump in and try and beat, but God, I suck at it. I'm so unimaginably bad at this game that I've literally gotten to the fifth level, so it goes from caves to like catacombs or something, and I've gotten to the second catacomb, and then I just eat shit and die. I think that one thing that the game could really benefit from is that, like, in a roguelike, because you do the things where, like, between each level, you get to pick an upgrade, and sometimes the shops you can buy upgrades as well. And
yeah.
And in most games where it's like that, you know, you get this kind of like really fun feeling that every upgrade is helping you out, but I never really get that feeling in Downwell. All of the upgrades seem mildly useful, but none of them, I feel like, ever really give me much benefit. So it'll be like often they hinder me more than help me. So one is like, when you stomp on an enemy, it causes an explosion. And I'm like, well, that sounds useful because that'll hurt the enemies around me. But what it normally does is just explodes the bricks that the enemy is on, and then I keep falling into other enemies. Or it's like, every time you destroy a brick, a bullet will shoot up. But when that happens, I've already killed all the enemies above me. So the bullet just does nothing. And I'm like, well, that was a waste of my time.
So, Jackson, when you usually review games like this, Zaman and I either haven't played them or have played them less than you. But in this case, Levens, I believe you've maybe
I believe Levin's your words were Downwell. I love that game before we started playing.
I own Downwell on my phone, on my Vita, and on my Switch.
Wow.
It's a really, really fun game, but it's also a game that I just have accepted I'll never finish.
Because
I don't think I'm very good at it either. It sounds like I've gotten around about this, not too much further than you have. But I just find the mechanics of it really, really fun.
Me too.
You can play it in on Switch is the best way to play it, but you have to get something called a flip grip, which allows you to put your in handheld mode. Basically it's a game where you fall down, so it's all vertical. And so it's, I guess, to be played on like a phone size. It was originally made on a phone. So when you play it in regular handheld mode on your Switch, there's a lot of negative space to the left and right of the screen. Mm. But you can play it in tate mode, which is when you flip your Switch upways. And so you're holding it vertically. You get something called the flip grip, which is like $10. And you can connect your Switch to it, and then you can slide the... the Joy-Con either side of it, so you now got a vertical Switch.
Wow, does sound like it would improve the feeling of it quite a bit, and I feel like you'd see more of the level as you were kind of going.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's really really fun to play that and like a bunch of old arcade games. But it is just a dumb novelty that idiots like me are drawn to. but I recommend it.
I think one of the reasons that Downwell is so hard is that you can only damage an enemy if you hit it from above, right? And sometimes the hit detection on that is like a nightmare. Like you definitely landed above it, or you just sort of slightly glide past it and you lose a bit of health. And you only have four, I mean, depending, but you only have four, you know, health units or whatever. Four health doesn't feel grammatically correct. I wanted to say four hearts, four hits, but that's not true.
Yeah.
Four hit points. But I feel like if the upgrades did, because like, I don't know, you know, in like a regular roguelike, you might get an upgrade that like puts a little shield around you that hurts enemies that come near you or something like that. Or like when you get hurt, like a sort of like thorns come off you and hurt enemies around you. So I don't know, something
that
like that.
A game that I'm kind of familiar with. That sounds a lot like a game that I know or maybe have played. When you get hit, thorns come off you?
Well, I think that I was using that as an example. It's Hollow Knight, but the same thing happens in a lot of different games. But yeah, I just feel like if the upgrades genuinely helped you, it would be a lot more fun for me. Rather than I get to pick an upgrade and I'm like, none of these are good. I just want the one that gives me more health. Christ.
I think the upgrades though, like if you are just addicted to this thing and playing it nonstop, you would figure out, okay, this is how this upgrade is good.
This is where you're meant to use this.
One of the roguelikes where you're just meant to just play it nonstop forever and eventually get good at it.
Well, that won't happen for me.
So, Jackson, how many thumbs?
Probably like, for my own personal experience with it, maybe like 2.5 to 3, 2 thumbs and enough to 3 thumbs. It's good, but I find it more frustrating than anything else. And every time that I die, I mean, I guess this is just what a roguelike does. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. Every time I die, I'm like, ugh, like I gotta start from the very beginning, which I'm like, well, maybe that's what a roguelike just is. But I think a good roguelike is you're like, oh, I've got to start from the beginning, but I know what I'm going to do this time. And I don't think Downwell gives you that experience.
I think know it's a phone game
that
kind of makes you forgive that more. It's just meant to be like a game that you play endlessly on your phone.
Yeah, while you're waiting for a bus or for your chicken to cook or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, three thumbs, I think. I'll give it.
So, Jackson, you said that you picked this because a lot of the games in your Switch library made you want to die when you thought about playing. So I'm just going to read some of the ones you've played that I can see on my Switch. And just I want you to tell me why you didn't pick this instead.
You need to nickname this segment. Dusha's snitching.
Yeah, Dusha the Switch snitch. There it is.
Snitches get switches.
Yeah.
I'm just consulting the knowledge that I have.
Yeah, the tomes.
So Over the Alps, only played for a little while.
That game was fun, but I feel like I'd need to be on like a flight or something where I can like really get into it. It's a weird game for me to play. I think I just like the aesthetic more than anything. It's just like a visual novel, basically.
Bulletstorm Duke of Switch Edition.
I thought it was really funny that I could play as Duke Nukem in the game, but I actually hated the game. I was like, I'm Duke Nukem. That's hilarious. And then I was like, I wish I was playing Duke Nukem. So
you played that for 2 hours or more. So you had a bit of a good time with it.
It was fine. I've reviewed it on Thumbnails.
The House of Da Vinci 2.
Okay, so do you remember I reviewed a game called The Room, which was all about puzzle boxes?
Well, yeah, I just skipped over that in this thing, because I remember.
I really liked The Room. That was a great time, and I finished it. And Da Vinci, House of Da Vinci 2 promised to be similar, but whereas whereas the Room just gave me the whole puzzle box, and it was just about rotating around that puzzle box or whatever, House of Da Vinci 2 was like a... Like I was walking around levels trying to solve puzzles. So I'd like wander into a gazebo and pick up a lock and be like, oh my God, I don't know where it could be. So I hated it quite a bit. So that's why.
And last game that I just want to ask questions about. Actually, sure. I guess two. So this one, Project Warlock. What is that?
So Project Warlock is a kind of like a Doom-like a little bit that promised to, again, like, remind me of Doom, play like Doom or whatever, and I was like, oh, that sounds fun. But at the time, my controller had really terrible drift. I hadn't gotten new Switch controllers yet, so playing it was hell because I would just look at my feet whenever I was trying to fight demons or whatever, or witches or whatever the hell that game's about. And so I, in the end, I didn't play it, and then by the time I had my controllers fixed, I had other games I wanted to play. So,
and finally, the question that's on everyone's lips, Croco Block Knockers, have you clocked it?
I haven't done a block clock yet, a block knock clock, but I absolutely will at some point. I'll get back to it. The struggle is that I've reached a level where it's difficult to get the full nude bikini woman.
I can
just get sections of her, and I don't get her in my gallery anymore. So
that's a real bummer.
It is a real bummer. So it's turning me off finishing it a bit, but I should really clock it. Just for my reputation, I think.
Well, you could just Google it, image search.
Yeah, that's true. I could just Google image search breast. It would be infinitely more explicit than anything I get from Croco Block Knockers.
But not as satisfying.
Not as satisfying. I won't have earned it, so it doesn't count. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for indulging me in Joel Dusha's Switch Snitch Corner.
Yeah, of course.
Dusha, his... The Switch snitch. The Switch snitch. What a bitch, bitch.
I'm going to cut that out and use it as the theme every time.
Beautiful.
Make sure you leave in the bit where I say, I don't know.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
That's a very important part. Anyway, I've still been playing Hollow Knight, a game that has... It's getting to the point where I'm playing Hollow Knight instead of doing things that I should be doing.
Yeah, and you're That's only good. 20 hours in, dude. This is
25.
A game that I've...
25 hours.
I think I have 80 hours on my
Jesus Christ.
you're still like lapping at the beginning, you know? Like
it is so funny every time we talk about it and you're like, I don't know if you said this on air when you reviewed it last episode or whatever, but you're like, every time you talk about it and we bring up stuff, you're like, it's so much deeper than I thought.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, the God, you've got the dream nail though, yeah?
Yeah, we've got the dream nail. Okay. So yeah, last time I was like, yeah, I think I'm like kind of getting close to like the halfway point. I could tell because I was starting to ramp up like charms and like the abilities were unlocking new areas and I'd unlocked, like the map looked like it was starting to fill out. And I was like, all right, I'm about halfway through. But then you were like, have you got the, and Zamet was like, oh yeah, what build are you playing? I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, because I used ones that like had like minions follow me. I was like
little
what?
Companions,
what?
Yeah.
And then, then... Jackson was like, yeah, like, once you get the dream nail, I was like, what's that? And you're like, you know, the, like, and then also, like, you can drop off the stuff at the bank. And I was like, oh, no. But now,
oh my God,
at 25 hours in, I have the dream nail.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of abilities that I missed that was driving
That's
me
good.
Crazy. I missed a tiny part of one of the areas which has the crystal heart in it. So I skipped that and then went and fought optional bosses, thinking that every time I was fighting an optional boss, that was the way I was meant to go.
That's good.
Got the dream nail at that point in the game as well. Was like, oh, maybe I need to get like to a certain amount of essence that'll unlock a new area. So I have like 900 essence. That's all optional stuff.
Like
mass shards and stuff like that. And then eventually I found the crystal heart. And I was like, sweet, this is going to unlock a whole bunch of new areas for me. I then went straight to the next boss fight. And I was like, sweet, this is actually like a story boss. This unlocks an item, which was the double jump. Because I had fought optional bosses that were meant to happen a bit later in the game. Because when I got the dream nail, I went looking for dream warriors.
Yeah,
or warrior spirits or whatever they're called. To kill, because I thought that I needed a certain amount of essence to unlock the next part of the game. But I was wrong. So when I then went to Broken Vessel boss fight, which is the one where you get the double jump, I wiped the floor with that guy because I was expecting a... Like, I assumed that it was going to be more than, like, that stage just because I'd fought harder bosses at that point. And then I was feeling really good about myself, which was a mistake, which was the biggest mistake. Because then immediately after getting that, I have gone to explore my suite. I know there's heaps of places where I couldn't, like, wall jump because I needed to double jump to get there. I'm going to power through the rest of this game.
Yeah.
I then got lost for ages, probably like 5 hours, just wandering around, just constantly finding like charms and charms like and mask shards and vessel shards, which are helpful, but don't take me to where I need to be.
Also, they're fun to get. I mean, any time spent in this game is time well spent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got all of the nail art, which I didn't know was a thing until I got all three of them pretty close together accidentally.
Great.
Had realized I'd missed a really obvious one that was like right in front of me the whole time, because it was clearly you were meant to unlock one at the start of the game, one a little bit later, and then one later on. But I got the last one first. And yeah, from that point, I then managed to stumble my way into the first. Are they called Dreamers or Sleepers? One of the three mask guys.
Yeah. The Dreamers, I think. I don't remember. I know who you mean, though. The fellas in cocoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I got to one which was protected by, I think, Wretched Knight? Is that the name of it?
Richard Knight.
It is. Yeah, Richard.
Old Dickie Knight, baby.
And I rolled into that boss fight and got so annoyed because I just was dying constantly. It's a boss fight where there is, 6 bodies and like the infection comes from the ceiling and possesses one. Yeah.
The Watcher Knights. And then
Watcher Knight.
Okay. Have you beat them yet?
Yes. I figured out the chandelier thing. Okay, that's what you're about to tell me. The first time I rolled into that, so for anyone who hasn't played and look, I just know that I'm currently like, it kind of feels like a heroin addiction at this point. It's very bad for me. Every time I play it, I get like frustrated.
Yeah, you sound like an insane person, which makes me know that you're dick deep.
You're
in
deep
this game.
Yeah.
Up to the nuts, dude. You're up to the nuts in the game. Yeah.
Like it's crazy. Anyway, but like it's getting to the point now where like some boss fights are making me really frustrated, like the Watcher Knight did, where I was like, I know what I'm meant to do, but I don't know if I can do it. And then found the chandelier thing. But the first time I did the boss fight, I got to the last two and got killed. Then after I did the chandelier thing, I couldn't get past the third one. I just kept dying because I was like, being like, oh, okay, I've got it now. And yeah, it got to the point where I had to stop playing and like walk it off because I was getting too frustrated.
I know that feeling though.
There's always somewhere else you can go. That's what's so good about Hollow Knight.
Very true. You can be like, oh, I'm going to explore down here, because with Hollow Knight, you unlock areas so early, like the City of Tears or whatever, you find that pretty early in the game, and you're
like the third or fourth area,
But I love that about Hollow Knight, is that you'll like drop down into an area and be like, I don't know what this is. I'm getting out of here. But then when you're like, oh, this boss is too hard, or I can't figure out where to go next, you're like, well, I guess I'll go explore down there. And then every area that you explore, you're like, oh, I've explored it. Great. But no, you've not explored it at all. I think there are like 4 optional bosses within the City of Tears alone that like you just, I think in my first playthrough, I completely missed.
The dream versions of too. So my percentage of this game, I've 108% at this game, maybe 109% and of a potential 112.
Yeah.
I think is the final percentage. The last challenges in front of me, I'm just like, I'm never going to do them. I'll actually pull my hair out. I'll eat my Switch.
It is good to get to a level of frustrated where your brain's like, I should bite this.
Yeah, for sure.
I finished this game at Splendor in the Grass in 2017 in a tent at like, I think, I had DJing there till 10, and then I had a gap between 10 and 12, and so I went back to my tent and I sat in it and I finished Hollow Knight.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's one hell of a game.
It's the best,
promoters
man.
Were like, "You're going to support the local scene," and you were like, "No, Catch Me.
Yeah, it's an Adelaide-based game.
Yeah.
It was made. Yeah, it's an Adelaide that was made in Adelaide. The only good thing to come out of Adelaide since. I'm out of ideas.
That's it. That's the one good thing.
Yeah.
Super Jesus. Did they have good songs? I can't remember.
Yeah. Probably not.
So you're about to get to, I mean, if you haven't already, my favorite craziest moment of that game was when I first got to Deep Nest.
Mm-hmm. I've done Deep Nest.
Okay, with the spiders and shit, and you go to save at a bench, and then suddenly a spider like webs you up, and you end up in a cocoon.
No, I haven't done that bit yet.
Not done Deep Nest at all, dude. I've done Deep Nest. Have you seen the little guy? I think it's in Deep Nest. Have you seen the little guy that looks like you and then runs off screen down a hole?
Yeah, I love
and
that
you're
guy.
Like, where's that guy going? Have you done that yet?
Yeah, I've seen the guy that looks like me, and I was like, wait, why is there another me? And saw that part. But I'm about to go back into Deep Nest to, because I've realized that I can't get to one of the other dreamers that I was going to. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go to the one in Deep Nest. Because, Fog Canyon, I've been to, can't get the map yet, so every time I go in there, I'm scared because I can't see what I'm doing.
Deep Nest is spooky, dude.
It's so good and scary. It's like, I remember this having like the smallest amount of health and having to use every nail strike to heal myself.
Oh, yeah,
just
for
so I could get 1 centimeter further in the map, and I managed to do it all without dying, and it was like one of my greatest moments of game.
Yeah.
And I did it in a tent.
Hell yeah.
I think that was like a week before that, I think. But yeah, God, I love that God. Game.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I haven't died twice very often. I think only like once or twice. But every time it's happened where I haven't collected my Geo, I have wanted to start the game again or never play it again.
It's a good feeling.
Sure. It's powerful.
But if you play it long enough, Geo doesn't even matter, baby. You bought everything you could possibly buy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that's also sort of happening. I think the only thing that hasn't like stopped me from doing that is the fact that I've bought everything I've needed before that's happened. So I've never been like, I need more Geo. I wish I didn't die. Also, I put money in the bank. Don't know what happened to it. Don't know where the bank is.
That's good.
Try and find it.
It's worth it. It's really worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It's one of the best parts of the game, I'd say.
I found the bank and I put like $3,000 in it.
You want to go back.
You've got to keep putting money in the bank.
Yeah, you got to
keep putting money in the bank.
I'm so jealous of you that you're experiencing all this for the first time.
Mostly maddening confusion because every time I talk to someone who's played it, they say something and I'm like, what? Oh, no.
It's the best game. It's top three games of all time for me.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. 100%.
The only, like... Well, not like... It's not really a criticism. The only thing that I'm... has frustrated me, I guess, is, like... Unlike Super Metroid, which seems to be, like, the game that this is based most off. Like, some Metroidvanias...
You need to play Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, this feels way more like a Metroid than a Castlevania when it comes to, like, the Metroidvania-style games, but...
Have you played any Castlevanias?
Yes, but only...
Which ones?
That is a great
question.
What
are their name for their albums?
I haven't played four of them. Actually, maybe I have played Symphony of the Night, but I haven't played it for very long because I wanted it to come out on Switch, and it just never has. Dogs.
That movie, that game rules. And the movie, if they make it, I'm sure will also rule.
Also, it'll be good.
I've played Simon's Quest, which doesn't count. But, I think I've also... I don't know.
Also, pre-Symphony of the Night, they weren't exploration-based games as much as like a Metroid is. So it's only from that point onward that Super Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night both come out like roughly around the same time.
Yeah.
And then influence the rest of the genre.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, Hollow Knight, obviously still 5 thumbs from me. It will probably be the best game I play this year.
I think so.
Yeah. And it's huge.
New Pokemon Snap.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be my game of the year. You have no idea how excited I am for New Pokemon Snap.
Well, that's
losing my mind.
That's
throw an apple out of Pikachu's head.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention your game of the year, Jackson, because I've got an update for you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
People have been waiting all episode for this. They're like,
I finished to completion Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
It's because it's a good game.
It's pretty good. I had a good time.
So, I can see the good in Star Wars Episode 1 Racer.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean... I loved it when I wasn't having to go back and try and beat a level that I wasn't able to beat the first time. But like, as soon as you have to play a track multiple times, I hate it so much.
That's madness. That thrill of trying to beat a level that you've just struggled to beat and then absolutely nailing it. Yippee! Who do you race as? That's my
question. I'm doing it full Jackson style, Anakin only.
Good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. You got to do it in the Jackson fashion and play as Anakin.
And because the first two tracks are so easy, and I was like, this game's going to be great. I love this. It's like just a really easy racer with like, but like then the third track is so hard, where there's just like big bits of ice everywhere, and
that's like my
really
favorite track. Oh man, it's so good. The big jumps that you do,
yeah,
hell yeah.
So I need to learn how to do more than just hold accelerate.
Yeah, that is true. You do need to, as much as I loathe it, you do need to repair occasionally. It's sad. And figuring out how to get good at going like on your side to get through gaps. Yeah,
so
and
how
to
do
get
you
through
do that?
I forget the button, but you just got to.
It is a button? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll mess around with the buttons.
And you press, but that's so satisfying when there's two pods in front of you or whatever. Two cars? Two races?
Pods.
I don't know.
Pod
two
races,
pods. Feels
races,
weird to say.
Whatevs.
And then you, whoa, slide right through the middle of them and eat dust, slime ball. It's the best. Eat my slime dust ball. That would be what I would yell if I was a racer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Usually at this point in the episode, we would read some emails from our inbox, thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or some of our tweets, which you can send to us by tweeting at thumbcrampspod. But unfortunately, as we are in video game jail, our internet is total dog shit for some reason.
Like video
today.
Game hell.
Yeah. So this episode's already been a nightmare to edit, and if it sounded good to you at this point so far, it means I've done a bang-up job. But if it doesn't sound good, this is me also asking for forgiveness because, wow, our internet's really bad today. So, send us an email at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or tweet us at thumbcrampspod, and next week we'll read more. Thank you so much for joining us, Levens, visiting us in video game jail. Today's episode
Anytime.
Today's episode has been it's probably been like a 15 thumb episode. We all gave our game a perfect 5 thumbs.
Yeah,
isn't that right,
that
Jackson?
Yeah, sounds right. Whatever the hell I've reviewed. Episode 1 Racer? Yeah, that's 5 thumbs, dude.
You should name this episode Douche's Fury.
Yeah.
Oh. Just change the naming conventions for the episode for just one.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Levens, and can I do a little plug? Or will the internet
cut
out even more? You're like, actually, Levens, your internet is it's real bad. See you later.
Goodbye.
So obviously everyone knows me from as the host of Hey Fam and all the small games and Serious Issues, all of which have new episodes out this week. You can get them over at sanspantsradio.com. But I also write books, and the books are for children or people who are, shall we say, young at heart. And My goal with these books is to get our favorite plumbing boys to read them. Because I know at least a few of them. Douche, have you read one of them?
I've read half of the first one. Zammit took it off me and then never gave it back.
Did the second one make its way to you guys as well?
I don't think so.
I don't have it. Zammit may have
Zammit
it and not said
it.
Anything.
Yeah. Mm. Zammit might have he might be keeping it from us.
Yeah,
holding it to himself.
It's a series of books about a boy named Nelson who refuses to eat vegetables because he thinks they're disgusting. But one day he's forced to eat them, and then they give him superpowers. And it's a really, really fun and silly series, and I want to do a Plumbing the Death Star episode about the Nelson series. That's my goal for the year, to get fired from my publisher for doing a Plumbing the Death Star episode about a book series I wrote.
That's absurdly doable, my friend.
Yeah, that's
easy.
What an
achievable goal.
I'm going to write a parody novel, I reckon, called Jackson, and he eats vegetables that he hates, but they just make him sick. Like you in real life, Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten this plum.
I also do a Sans Pants Plus only podcast, which is going to come back this week, called 21 Questions. And I did an episode with Cass, and I actually think Cass has the worst eating habits out of all of you.
Yeah, Cass's eating habits are shocking.
If you want to get an idea of what that podcast sounds like, if you head to sanspansradio.com, hit podcast, you can listen to the first episode for free, even though it is a Sanspans Plus episode, and that's an interview with me. The Cass one is behind the Sanspans Radio, the Sanspans Plus paywall, but it's worth it. We honestly offer too many shows for the price you pay. Most podcasts are like, hey, for $5 a month, you'll get one bonus episode a month. And we're like, for $5 a month, you get like 15.
What if the bulk of our entire network was on Sans Pants Plus for the low, low price of $5 a month? Is that clever?
Is that a good business strategy?
But it happened.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Thumb Cramps with Internet Problems. It'll probably be good again next week. Levins, you should come back on at some point when the internet decides not to shit its pants.
You said it was my internet at one point, which I refuse to agree with. So
Jackson and I were fine for a second and you were bad. So who knows?
It's fine. Everything's good up here in Sydney. We can go outside and our internet's beautiful.
Oh,
what a dog.
Anyway, buy my book so you understand the upcoming Plumbing the Death Star episode. Maybe I should get Blink 182 episode level drunk for it. Who knows?
Oh, yes, please.
Goodbye.
Adios.
So long.
Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspans Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.